On this steamy Saturday morning, midsummer, time once again for our wine chat with our friend from Haskell's, Jack Farrell. Good morning, Jack.
Hi, Denny. How are things this morning?
I'm just trying to stay cool, and like everyone else, and it looks like a steamy weekend, but you know what? It's summer.
Right. We're supposed to have a little steam once in a while, and maybe
Absolutely.
It won't rain.
Well, we'll see.
Anyhow, today I thought I'd talk about a couple of things. One, I'd start out, I had about a dozen requests this last week for my sangria recipe. And I thought I'd give that. That's a great thing to have on hot weather days. Sangria is a wine punch that comes to us from Spain. And it really is delicious. And today, they even make a white sangria, which is, as I actually prefer it to red sangria. But it's a wonderful hot weather drink. I mean, you don't have to seriously pay attention to the wine. It's just something you quaff down to cool you off. And it's so simple. You take a bottle of Beaujolais. If you have some Nouveau Beaujolais, that's even better. You want a red wine that's good and dry, but you don't want to break the bank. Don't forget you're putting the wine in a punch, so you don't want a very expensive wine at all. I like to use Beaujolais, and if I have some, I like to use Nouveau Beaujolais. Then you add 6 ounces of club soda, 2 ounces Beaujolais, and if I have some, I like to use Nouveau Beaujolais. Then you add 6 ounces of club soda, 2 ounces of brandy, 2 ounces of Cointreau or triple sec, slice up lemons, oranges, apples, limes, whichever you prefer, mix them all in a pitcher with ice and serve, and oh, it's just so delicious. Now, the white sangria is the same thing, only you take a bottle of white wine, a 6 ounce bottle of soda, and here is the real secret to the white sangria. A couple ounces of limoncello with the 2 ounces of brandy, and then maybe a sprig of tarragon. If you have some fresh tarragon growing in the garden, that's a nice accent to white sangria. Once again, it's a bottle of inexpensive white wine, 6 ounces of club soda, 2 ounces of limoncello, 2 ounces of brandy, and again, slice up that fruit. Apples, peaches, lemons are all good. Limes, very, very good. And mix them in a pitcher with ice, and you have a recipe that will not only delight your palate, but it'll cool you off a bit on a hot day. Now, what I really planned to talk about today wasn't sangria, but I did that to answer all those listeners' questions. And if you can't write it down, just go to Haskell's.com. The recipes are there. Today, I was going to talk about Provence, France. And I absolutely think that's my second most favorite part of France, my first most favorite being Burgundy and the little city of Beaune. But the second is Provence. It's so beautiful there. Those fields of lavender, that deep purple color, and there are fields of them, acres of them. It's just absolutely gorgeous. And then you have bushes of rosemary. I mean, real big bushes, 5-6 feet high, thick bushes of solid rosemary. It's so lovely when you go to someone's house and they have a whole wall of rosemary bushes. You never are at a want for a little rosemary to go on anything. It's just terrific. And the weather there is delightful. It's cool at night. It's a real Mediterranean climate in Provence. It's a big area. It starts in the city of Marseille, and they've been planting grapes there for a long time, so they should be good at it. The grapes were introduced by the Greeks in 600 B.C., so we know for sure that they've been planting grapes for 2,600 years and probably long before that. Of the wines in Provence, the most is rosé, about 80% rosé, 15% red wine, 5% white wine. But today we're going to confine our comments basically to the rosés of Provence. They are absolutely delicious, and there is different varieties of rosé from there as you could possibly imagine. They use all these different grapes: Carignan, Cinsault, Grenache, Cabernet, Syrah, Mourvèdre are all some of the grapevines, grape types that are used to produce rosé in that area, big area that comprises Provence. And, of course, Provence rosé goes with all sorts of Mediterranean food. And they claim it really goes best with aioli. And aioli is a garlic mayonnaise. It's absolutely wonderful to make yourself. And it's a wonderful fish sauce and things like that. Again, it's a garlic mayonnaise, easy to make. And then, of course, the bouillabaisse, which was invented in Marseille, is a fish stew that's served all over Provence. And with that, usually floating on the top, they have a crust of bread that's smothered with aioli, and you let it get soaked with your soup, the bouillabaisse, and what a delicious treat that is. And it's even better if you have a glass of Provence rosé. Provence rosé has gotten extremely popular in the last 20 years. It always was popular in France. It's the number one selling rosé in all of France. But it began to get popular in this country about 20 years ago. And there's always been wines around from Provence, rosés. And, of course, you know, Provence, the region of Provence, contains most of the French coast on the Mediterranean. And it's all that Gold Coast, where tourism started in the early 1900s and still is very popular tourism for that area, you know, with the Cannes Film Festival, all that's headquartered in Provence, Cannes, etc. And, you know, when you're sitting alongside the Mediterranean there having a fish salad or something, nothing is better than a wonderful glass of rosé wine from the region there. And, of course, as many celebrities have discovered, I think George Clooney, Matt Damon, are two of them. Of course, the best known is Angela Jolie and Brad Pitt with their vineyard in there. So it's become a real celebrity haven, and the celebrities are jumping into the wine business. In fact, I remember, it's probably 20-some years ago, I ran into Sasha Lachine at a meeting in Paris, and he said, "John, you'll never guess what I'm doing." Knowing Sasha, I said, "No, I never would, so you better tell me." And he told me. He said, "I am selling a rosé for $100 a bottle." I said, "Sasha, you've done a lot of odd things. This is the oddest. No one is going to buy a rosé wine at that price." Well, how wrong I was. Sasha, 2 years ago, sold 55% of his company to Louis Vuitton Moët, the largest conglomerate in the world of luxury goods. And his whispering angels, probably almost a lot of you listening to me who drink rosé have probably had a glass of Sasha's whispering angel. He sold it for millions and millions of dollars, which shows you my picking hits and misses in the wine business isn't very good, because I thought he was nuts. He was nuts like a fox, copped off with all that money and left us a legacy of some wonderful wines in that Whispering Angel. You know, originally rosés, especially from Provence, were considered kind of cheap wines for the masses, but they've gotten so much better because what's happened today in Provence is it's become sort of the cradle of ideas for rosé. As I mentioned early on when I listed all the grape types, there's so many different kinds of rosés coming out of Provence that you just can't imagine them all. But they're, with everyone that comes out, they're getting better. They're refining their art, etc. And the rosés that come out of Provence today aren't one bit like the ones that came out 40 and 50 years ago. They're so much better. And at a premium. Yes, his $100 rosé does sell. I mean, I am absolutely shocked, but they're the premium rosés that come from Provence, where they get up to $20, $25 a bottle, are really very good, and people are buying them. It's just amazing that that huge ocean of wine, I forget how many millions of cases a year of rosé are produced in Provence, but it's a lot. And they are just absolutely sought after and gobbled up by the wine-drinking public. Because, you know, rosé isn't any longer a wine for afternoon tea or the ladies because it's pink and pretty. It's everybody's wine. As an aperitif, rosé is just quite simply hard to beat. It makes for a wonderful aperitif on a chilly day. You need chilling, like today, where the temperature is going to get up into the 90s. Maybe a glass of chilled rosé, particularly from Provence, wouldn't be so bad. That lightly colored wine that is Provence wine is really a very refreshing and delicious thing. If you can't believe me, try it with a shrimp, i.e. a shrimp cocktail, and just a glass of rosé from Provence. It's just amazing, the quality of these wines. And as I said, it's sort of a crucible there for developing new approaches to rosé wine. And people from all over the world are coming there, not only coming there, but heavy businessmen, not only Louis Vuitton, but other big companies, powerful companies, have gone into the area and saw the future of the wine business in Provence. So it was started by those Greeks 2,600 years ago. They probably had no idea that the wine business there would become as big as it is. And also an interesting thing they do in Provence is they have, in 1955, they classified some estates, and there's about 60 estates classified in Provence, and they're considered a cut above everybody else, and that's why big money has moved into picking up some of these estates for their portfolio. As I said, Whispering Angel is part of Chateau Esclance. Esclance is the estate that Sasha Lachine bought, and Whispering Angel is just one of the wines that they produce there. And as I pointed out, they also produce that $100 wine, which is just absolutely incredible. And then, of course, there's this place itself. If you ever get an opportunity to go to Provence, go out in the countryside. Don't just stay in Marseille or Cannes or the French Riviera, which is, of course, just beautiful. Go inland a bit. Like I say, see those acres and acres of lavender. They appeal to all the senses. And the field changes colors, all in purple, of course. But as the wind blows, it sort of changes color. It's just hard to imagine until you see it yourself how wonderful those fields of lavender look like. And those wild thyme is everywhere, as is rosemary in those big bushes. The food of the area is absolutely delicious. The countryside is beautiful. I don't know what more you'd want in a wine area unless it's a really good glass of wine. And believe me, in Provence, you can find a really good glass of wine. And they make a lot of wine there. As I said, today our concentration is basically on rosés, but they make some very good reds there. Bandol is in the Provence, etc., and they make a very good red. The main grape variety throughout all of Provence is Moudre, Moudre. It's a grape type that makes hundreds of different kinds of wine. It's used everywhere, but it is the principal grape type. You would think maybe it would be Chinsault or Grenache, and they certainly use a lot of those in making the rosés. But some of these other ones, like Cabernet and Syrah, are grape types that are going up, and they're producing more red wine in the area, which is sort of an interesting thing, because it's so well known for its rosé. And red wine, as I said, is surprisingly the second most wine. But when we're talking second most, and it's only 15%, that 80% is all rosé with 5% white wines. And so they're really is no comparing rosés from around the world unless you begin with Provence, in my opinion. That's the startup place. That's the wine style you should choose, first of all, if you're going into rosé, because I think, and I'm probably wrong, but I think maybe it's the birthplace of rosé because they make so much of it and they do so well with it, and the French love it so much. As I mentioned, the French consume most of the wines in Provence. Over half of them are consumed at home, and that's a lot these days when they're striving to get their wine sold on all sorts of international markets. The food pairings are great, as I said. They're usually dry with a zestiness, good acidity, and sometimes you can get a little of that lavender and rosemary and thyme on the nose of your rosé from Provence. But if you get nothing out of my talk this morning, at least try a rosé from Provence. And while we're on that subject, Ted Farrell had four wines for his summer, a hot summer day. One was Vino Robles rosé from California, which is very good. Tavel, which is one of my favorite wines of all time, and Cantina della from Italy, Pinot Grigio. Four wonderful wines at great prices from Ted.
Excellent. Always a great ideas from Ted. And you can find them at any Haskell's location.
Indeed. The folks at Haskell's love to talk about wine, and we love to pair wine with food. Whether you want a bottle of Provence Rosé or something more sophisticated, stop in. Wine, and we love to pair wine with food. Whether you want a bottle of Provence Rosé or something more sophisticated, stop in. They'll pair you and your food up, and they won't break the bank. They'll do it at affordable prices. There's a Haskell's near you where you can save big dollars during our summer sale. Bloomington, Excelsior, Faribault, Maple Grove, Minneapolis, Minnetonka, Plymouth, St. Paul's Island Village, Stillwater, White Bear Lake, and Woodbury, too.
Morning, gentlemen.
If you can't come into Haskell's, go to Haskell's.com. And don't forget, we do deliver.
Excellent, Jack. Thanks so much. Let's do this again next week.
Denny, I'm going to look forward to that.
That's Jack Farrell from Haskell's. On this steamy Saturday morning, midsummer, time once again for our wine chat with our friend from Haskell's, Jack Farrell. Good morning, Jack.
Hi, Denny. How are things this morning?
I'm just trying to stay cool, and like everyone else, and it looks like a steamy weekend, but you know what? It's summer.
Right. We're supposed to have a little steam once in a while, and maybe
Absolutely.
It won't rain.
Well, we'll see.
Anyhow, today I thought I'd talk about a couple of things. One, I had about a dozen requests this last week for my sangria recipe, and I thought I'd give that. That's a great thing to have on hot weather days. Sangria is a wine punch that comes to us from Spain, and it really is delicious. And today they even make a white sangria, which is, as I actually prefer it to red sangria, but it's a wonderful hot weather drink. I mean, you don't have to seriously pay attention to the wine. It's just something you quaff down to cool you off, and it's so simple. You take a bottle of Beaujolais. If you have some Nouveau Beaujolais, that's even better. You want a red wine that's good and dry, but you don't want to break the bank. And don't forget you're putting the wine in a punch, so you don't want a very expensive wine at all. I like to use Beaujolais, and if I have some, I like to use Nouveau Beaujolais. Then you add 6 ounces of club soda, 2 ounces Beaujolais, and if I have some, I like to use Nouveau Beaujolais. Then you add 6 ounces of club soda, 2 ounces of brandy, 2 ounces of Cointreau or triple sec. Slice up lemons, oranges, apples, limes, whichever you prefer. Mix them all in a pitcher with ice and serve. And oh, it's just so delicious. Now the white sangria is the same thing, only you take a bottle of white wine, a 6 ounce bottle of soda, and here is the real secret to the white sangria. A couple ounces of limoncello with the 2 ounces of brandy, and then maybe a sprig of tarragon. If you have some fresh tarragon growing in the garden, That's a nice accent to white sangria. Once again, it's a bottle of inexpensive white wine, 6 ounces of club soda, 2 ounces of limoncello, 2 ounces of brandy, and again, slice up that fruit. Apples, peaches, lemons are all good. Limes, very, very good. And mix them in a pitcher with ice, and you have a recipe that will not only delight your palate, but it'll cool you off a bit on a hot day. Now, what I really planned to talk about today wasn't sangria, but I did that to answer all those listeners' questions. And if you can't write it down, just go to Haskell's.com. The recipes are there. Today I was going to talk about Provence, France. And I absolutely think that's my second most favorite part of France, my first most favorite being Burgundy and the little city of Beaune. But the second is Provence. It's so beautiful there. Those fields of lavender, that deep purple color, and there are fields of them, acres of them. It's just absolutely gorgeous. And then you have bushes of rosemary. I mean, real big bushes, 5-6 feet high, thick bushes of solid rosemary. It's so lovely when you go to someone's house and they have a whole wall of rosemary bushes. You never are at a want for a little rosemary to go on anything. It's just terrific. And the weather there is delightful. It's cool at night. It's a real Mediterranean climate in Provence. It's a big area. It starts in the city of Marseille. And they've been planting grapes there for a long time, so they should be good at it. Grapes were introduced by the Greeks in 600 B.C., so we know for sure that they've been planting grapes for 2,600 years and probably long before that. Of the wines in Provence, the most is rosé, about 80% rosé, 15% red wine, 5% white wine. But today we're going to confine our comments basically to the rosés of Provence. They are absolutely delicious, and there is different varieties of rosé from there as you could possibly imagine. They use all these different grapes: Carignan, Cinsault, Grenache, Cabernet, Syrah, Mourvèdre, are all some of the grape types that are used to produce rosé in that area, big area that comprises Provence. And of course, Provence rosé goes with all sorts of Mediterranean food. And they claim it really goes best with aioli. And aioli is a garlic mayonnaise. It's absolutely wonderful to make yourself. And it's a wonderful fish sauce and things like that. Again, it's a garlic mayonnaise, easy to make. And then, of course, the bouillabaisse, which was invented in Marseille, is a fish stew that's served all over Provence. And with that, usually floating on the top, they have a crust of bread that's smothered with aioli, and you let it get soaked with your soup, the bouillabaisse, and what a delicious treat that is. And it's even better if you have a glass of Provence rosé. Provence rosé has gotten extremely popular in the last 20 years. It always was popular in France. It's the number one selling rosé in all of France. But it began to get popular in this country about 20 years ago. And there's always been wines around from Provence, rosés. And, of course, you know, Provence, the region of Provence, contains most of the French coast on the Mediterranean. And it's all that Gold Coast, where tourism started in the early 1900s and still is very popular tourism for that area, you know, with the Cannes Film Festival and all that. All that's headquartered in Provence, Cannes, etc. And, you know, when you're sitting alongside the Mediterranean there having a fish salad or something, nothing is better than a wonderful glass of rosé wine from the region there. And, of course, as many celebrities have discovered, I think George Clooney, the Matt Damon are two of them. Of course, the best known is Angela Jolie and Brad Pitt with their vineyard in there. So it's become a real celebrity haven, and the celebrities are jumping into the wine business. In fact, I remember, it's probably 20-some years ago, I ran into Sasha Lachine at a meeting in Paris, and he said, John, you'll never guess what I'm doing, knowing Sasha. I said, no, I never would, so you better tell me. And he told me. He said, I am selling a rosé for $100 a bottle. I said, Sasha, you've done a lot of odd things. This is the oddest. No one is going to buy a rosé wine at that price. Well, how wrong I was. Sasha, 2 years ago, sold 55% of his company to Louis Vuitton Moet, the largest conglomerate in the world of luxury goods. And his whispering angels, probably almost a lot of you listening to me who drink rosé have probably had a glass of Sasha's whispering angel. He sold it for millions and millions of dollars, which shows you my picking hits and misses in the wine business isn't very good, because I thought he was nuts. He was nuts like a fox, cut off with all that money, and left us a legacy of some wonderful wines in that Whispering Angel. You know, originally rosés, especially from Provence, were considered kind of cheap wines for the masses, but they've gotten so much better because what's happened today in Provence is it's become sort of the cradle of ideas for rosé. As I mentioned early on when I listed all the grape types, there's so many different kinds of rosés coming out of Provence that you just can't imagine them all. But they're, with everyone that comes out, they're getting better. They're refining their art, etc. And the rosés that come out of Provence today aren't one bit like the ones that came out 40 and 50 years ago. They're so much better. They're at a premium. Yes, his $100 rosé does sell. I mean, I am absolutely shocked, but they're the premium rosés that come from Provence, where they get up to $20-$25 a bottle, are really very good, and people are buying them. It's just amazing that huge ocean of wine. I forget how many millions of cases a year of rosé are produced in Provence, but it's a lot. And they are just absolutely sought after and gobbled up by the wine-drinking public. Because, you know, rosé isn't any longer a wine for afternoon tea or the ladies because it's pink and pretty. It's everybody's wine. As an aperitif, rosé is just quite simply hard to beat. It makes for a wonderful aperitif on a chilly day. You need chili, like today, where the temperature is going to get up into the 90s. Maybe a glass of chilled rosé, particularly from Provence, wouldn't be so bad. That lightly colored wine that is Provence wine is really a very refreshing and delicious thing. If you can't believe me, try it with a shrimp, a shrimp cocktail, and just a glass of rosé from Provence. It's just amazing, the quality of these wines. And as I said, it's sort of a crucible there for developing new approaches to rosé wine. And people from all over the world are coming there, not only coming there, but heavy businessmen, not only Louis Vuitton, but other big companies, powerful companies, have gone into the area and saw the future of the wine business in Provence. So it was started by those Greeks 2,600 years ago. They probably had no idea that the wine business there would become as big as it is. And also an interesting thing they do in Provence is they have, in 1955, they classified some estates, and there's about 60 estates classified in Provence, and they're considered a cut above everybody else, and that's why big money has moved into picking up some of these estates for their portfolio. As I said, Whispering Angel is part of Chateau Esclance. Esclance is the estate that Sasha Lachine bought, and Whispering Angel is just one of the wines that they produce there. And as I pointed out, they also produce that $100 wine, which is just absolutely incredible. And then, of course, there's this place itself. If you ever get a opportunity to go to Provence, go out in the countryside. Don't just stay in Marseille or Cannes or the French Riviera, which is, of course, just beautiful. Go inland a bit. Like I say, see those acres and acres of lavender. They appeal to all the senses. And the field changes colors, all in purple, of course. But as the wind blows, it sort of changes color. It's just hard to imagine until you see it yourself how wonderful those fields of lavender look like. And those wild thyme is everywhere, as is rosemary in those big bushes. The food of the area is absolutely delicious. The countryside is beautiful. I don't know what more you'd want in a wine area unless it's a really good glass of wine. And believe me, in Provence, you can find a really good glass of wine. And they make a lot of wine there. As I said, today our concentration is basically on rosés, but they make some very good reds there. Bandol is in Provence, etc., and they make a very good red. The main grape variety throughout all of Provence is Moudrée, Moudrée. It's a grape type that makes hundreds of different kinds of wine. It's used everywhere, but it is the principal grape type. You would think maybe it would be Chinsault or Grenache, and they certainly use a lot of those in making the rosés. But some of these things, other ones like Cabernet and Syrah, are grape types that are going up, and they're producing more red wine in the area, which is sort of an interesting thing because it's so well known for its rosé. And red wine, as I said, is surprisingly the second most wine. But when we're talking second most, and it's only 15%, that 80% is all rosé with 5% white wines. And so they're really... is no comparing rosés from around the world unless you begin with Provence, in my opinion. That's the startup place. That's the wine style you should choose, first of all, if you're going into rosé, because I think, and I'm probably wrong, but I think maybe it's the birthplace of rosé because they make so much of it and they do so well with it, and the French love it so much. As I mentioned, the French consume most of the wines in Provence. Over half of them are consumed at home. And that's a lot these days when they're striving to get their wine sold on all sorts of international markets. The food pairings are great, as I said. They're usually dry with a zestiness, good acidity. And sometimes you can get a little of that lavender and rosemary and thyme on the nose of your rosé from Provence. But if you get nothing out of my talk this morning, at least try a rosé from Provence. And while we're on that subject, Ted Farrell had four wines for his summer, a hot summer day. One was Vino Robles rosé from California, which is very good. Tavel, which is one of my favorite wines of all time, and Cantina della from Italy, Pinot Grigio. Four wonderful wines at great prices from Ted.
Excellent. Always a great ideas from Ted. And you can find them at any Haskell's location.
Indeed. The folks at Haskell's love to talk about wine, and we love to pair wine with food. Whether you want a bottle of Provence Rosé or something more sophisticated, stop in. Wine, and we love to pair wine with food. Whether you want a bottle of Provence Rosé or something more sophisticated, stop in. They'll pair you and your food up, and they won't break the bank. They'll do it at affordable prices. There's a Haskell's near you where you can save big dollars during our summer sale. Bloomington, Excelsior, Faribault, Maple Grove, Minneapolis, Minnetonka, Plymouth, St. Paul's Island Village, Stillwater, White Bear Lake, and Woodbury, too.
Morning,
if you can't come into Haskell's, go to Haskell's.com, and don't forget, we do deliver.
Excellent, Jack. Thanks so much. Let's do this again next week.
Denny, I'm going to look forward to that.
That's Jack Farrell from Haskell's.